Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen to the show there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. By the way, a quick note here about something I have mentioned over the last several episodes of this show. You've heard me mention my gratitude for Merchantside Marketing Group and the work that they did on building the Catholic Sports Radio website. I've also told you that their owner is a devout Christian. Recently, I was speaking with a singer-songwriter who was talking about expanding their branding, for example, a stand-up banner that they could have on stage when they perform. I mentioned that I have one of those for Catholic Sports Radio. You might have seen it in the past in some social media posts that I have put up. The layout and design of that banner was done by Merchantside Marketing Group. As you might guess from their company name, they don't do just websites. So this is how easy it is to refer people who do good work for you. Check them out by clicking on one of their ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net and let them know that you heard about them on this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In sports, we see athletes who are truly crushed by defeat. Likewise, we witness the emotion of an athlete who bids a tearful farewell to the game that they've loved and played so much when they announce their retirement. There are also similar displays when a team and/or an athlete announces that a player will miss a significant period of time due to a serious injury. You could even argue that another example of this emotion is a player who gets let go, released by their team, their contract not renewed, or maybe they are one of the final players let go when final rosters are selected. The common thread here is that these athletes feel broken. They feel like they're not good enough and/or that they're not who they thought they were. They're not invincible. They're not champions. They're not at the top of their game. There is a spiritual lesson in all of this, though. Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, quote, "Broken things are precious. We eat broken bread because we share in the depth of our Lord and his broken life. Broken flowers give perfume. Broken incense is used in adoration. A broken ship saved Paul and many other passengers on their way to Rome. Sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them." End quote. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is one of those people who an announcer will usually say needs no introduction. He coached 132 games in 11 seasons at Notre Dame, leading the Fighting Irish to the 1988 National Championship. After Notre Dame, he coached at South Carolina. Prior to Notre Dame, he coached at Minnesota, Arkansas, North Carolina State, and William & Mary. Along the way, he also spent one season as the head coach of the NFL's New York Jets. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008 and has been seen for many years on television as an analyst on ESPN. This all followed his days playing football at Kent State. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Lou Holtz.
Bruce, thank you for having me. I hope God blesses this program and enables me to share my thoughts and ideas from my heart.
Thank you, Coach. I'm really, really glad to have you with me. I just read off a long list of all the places that your football coaching career took you to, but where did it all start? Meaning, where were you born? What was the family size? Plus, I'm guessing you were raised in a Catholic household?
Yes, I was raised in a very strong Catholic household. Both grandparents were Catholic. My family was Catholic. We went to church every Sunday, and my grandmother, she went to church every single day of the year, and I mean, that is not an exaggeration.
Wow.
My father had a third-grade education. I was born in a cellar during the Depression. There's no welfare, food, stamps, safety net. We had one bathroom. We did not have a tub or a shower sink. We had one bedroom for my sister, myself, and my parents, and we had a kitchen. And as I said, there was no welfare, food stamp, safety net, but I was blessed because not what we had, but because of what I was taught. And I was taught to have a strong faith in God and make good choices as you go along. I played football because my uncles all played football. That was sort of expected. I wasn't a great athlete. I wasn't going to go to college. Nobody from our family had ever gone to college, let alone graduate. Mm. And my high school coach came up and told my parents I should go to college and be a coach. And I had some work to save my money to buy a 49 Chevrolet, and they made me use that money to go to college. I must have done a pretty good job in college, but I got hurt this spring practice my senior year, couldn't play my last year. Mm. So they had me help coach the freshman team. And then after I went in the Army as an officer, I get out. I was going to go coach high school football, but my college coach was in the Navy with Forrest Edyshevsky, the head coach at Iowa, and he called upon him to pre-build for him to give me a graduate assistantship. And so I went to Iowa, and that's how I ended up in college coaching rather than high school. Okay. So I've been blessed to have people look out for me.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We just addressed the fact that it was Kent State that you went for college, but what about grade school and high school? Did you attend any Catholic schools growing up? And if no, where did your Catholic education come from?
Oh, I went to Catholic grade school. We started out at St. Anthony's in Falls Bay. Then when World War II broke out, my father wasn't in the service. We moved in Liverpool to live with my mother's parents while my father was in the Pacific. And I attended St. Aloysius Grade School, 3 through 8. We marched out every day at noon recess and dismissal to the Notre Dame Victory March. I was taught by the Sisters of Notre Dame. Mm. And I believed everybody in the world was Catholic because I didn't know anybody that wasn't. But then the closest Catholic high school was 25 miles away, so I went to a public high school in East Liverpool.
Okay. Well, I'm always surprised when a guest comes on the show who is primarily associated with one sport, only to then find out that there was another sport that they were quite active in. For you, was it always football? And if so, when and how did you get started with football? Or was there another sport that you were active in also?
Well, I was involved in sports. Whichever sport was in season was my favorite one. I was a very good infielder in baseball, but I couldn't hit because they had me bat from the right side. When I went away to college, we come back, everybody had to bat the opposite hand because the field was too small. And I was dominated right to high. I see everything with my right eye. I have a lazy left eye. And so when I batted from the left side, I could see the ball. It made all the difference in the world.
Wow.
But I started the school. They needed people to fill up the first grade at St. Anthony's. They got out the baptismal certificate and came to my parents and asked me to start the school early, and I did. So I was a year or 2 years ahead of everybody else in my class, and it hurt me academically. It hurt me athletically, but it also hurt me socially. So, you know, I never had a date in high school. Everybody went to prom. I'm still playing with trucks, et cetera, but it turned out to be a positive thing.
Well, I don't want to overlook all the coaching jobs you had along the way, but when you got to Notre Dame, was that kind of the top of the mountain, meaning you were not only going to work with a hugely popular and historic football program, but do so at a Catholic school?
Well, I always wanted to coach at Notre Dame, but I didn't think I would ever have the opportunity to do so because when I first started out coaching, Notre Dame had never hired anything but alums to be their football coach. So they hired Eric Bercich, was the first non-alum that Notre Dame ever had. And I always wanted to coach there, but I never really thought it would work out. Gene Corrigan, the athletic director of Virginia, tried to hire me three different times. When I was at William Mary, NC State, et cetera. And when he went to Notre Dame as athletic director, I thought, well, maybe if we turned Minnesota around, then he would want to hire me, and that's exactly what happened. So I went to the University of Notre Dame, but I didn't go there with any expectation. I didn't go there to be a legend, do anything other than to honor the Notre Dame. Now, when I was at Iowa as a graduate assistant, we finished second in the country. Our last game of the year was at Notre Dame. Notre Dame wasn't very good. This was in the season 1960. We beat them 28-0. There I am on the sideline at Notre Dame as a graduate assistant, thinking that was the epitome of my entire coaching career. Even though I was on the wrong side, never once did I realize I would have the opportunity to be the head coach on the other side of the field.
Amazing. Amazing. People talk all the time about how times have changed and what you can and can't say nowadays versus what used to get said back in the day. Were things different back in your days at Notre Dame, or was it a case of, thankfully, no, Bruce, it was a Catholic institution, so we were always free to lift up the Lord's name to our student-athletes. It was just the way of life on campus.
Well, I went to the University of Notre Dame under a gentleman by the name of Father Esper, probably the most religious and intelligent person I've ever been around in my entire life. He was unbelievable. And Notre Dame had values, and they said to me when I went there, there's certain things in Notre Dame are not negotiable. Don't think you're going to come here and change them. So understand, number one, we're going to play the most difficult schedule we can find. We don't have good football facilities. We don't want to improve them because we don't want somebody to come here because of our weight room. We want them to come here because of our chemistry department. We have high academic standards. We aren't going to change it. You'll have nothing to do with the discipline of an athlete on campus. The other thing, we have a policy the head coach cannot make more than the president of Notre Dame. The president was a priest that took it out of poverty. Now, they did not say anything that would keep us from winning. He didn't say you can only play with 8 and everybody else has 11. They said that there's going to be challenges and obstacles in everything you do. I'm an old man. I don't care how old you are. You're always going to have challenges and obstacles, and that's life. It's how well you handle. What I loved about being at the University of Notre Dame, I could express my Catholic faith. I could express the faith I have in Jesus Christ, and I didn't have to worry about the civil liberty junior calling the university and complaining. Many things I did that turned out to be very positive for our athletes. And during 2 days, many times, one of the things I loved to do with our team was go over proverbs with them. There are basically 30 proverbs, and our fall camp was basically 30 about how to get along with your fellow man. I could do that without any reservation of mine whatsoever about the ACLU or anybody else getting in touch with our president. To go to the team mass was really special. And there's a segment in the team mass where we share the sign of peace with one another. The love and the feeling our team had during that team mass was absolutely incredible. We would have our team mass at Our Lady's Chapel in the Basilica, which was unbelievable. Now, not all our team was Catholic, but when we recruited them, we said, I don't expect you to become a Catholic, but I do expect you to show tremendous respect for the Catholic mass that we have, and they did that.
Wow, just beautiful, just beautiful. That's so great to hear, and I think we would all agree that our prayer should be that they're still doing that to this day. Coach, I don't know if you're aware if they still are or not, but what a great tradition that you set there.
Well, I felt it was very important. The last thing we did before we went to the stadium was we went to the team mass. And the team mass wasn't real long, but it was just a feeling of togetherness that we represent the Catholic faith and we represent Notre Dame, and our football team should reflect the same values that the university cherishes. We should play with great intelligence. We should play with great emotion. We should play with great love for one another. We should play with great sportsmanship. These are things that are just what we call our core values at Notre Dame.
Amen.
And what you try to do at any university, you try to establish the proper culture. And when you have a great culture, is when the players in the locker room get on one another about doing the right thing or doing the best they can or caring about their teammates. When the players start correcting it rather than coaches, that's when you have a championship caliber program.
Amen. Amen. Listeners, Lou has done so, so much that I want to try to continue to cover, including receiving a tremendous civilian honor late last year. But before I continue on with more of that, I have realized that I need to clarify something. Every week on this show, when I talk about my Catholic Sports Radio ministry and the fact that I don't get any income from doing this and don't have any sponsors, meaning that I have to try to somehow cover the expenses out of my own pocket, I'd then ask you to consider joining other listeners and even guests that have made a financial contribution to help me keep this going. It dawned on me that I wonder if people maybe are left thinking that I'm asking you to sign up for a recurring donation, a schedule of payments, so to speak, because that's not the case at all. When you hear me mentioning that listeners and that even some guests on this show have donated to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, it's a one-time thing. I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. That's why I say every week that the beauty of how the website is set up is that you choose how much you want to contribute. That's why I say that there's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from, because it's not an ongoing program that you're signing up for. You simply decide what you're comfortable contributing, and then you use the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to do that one time securely online. It's also why you've heard me say that some people choose to instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask me for the mailing address to send a check for a one-time contribution. So with that being said, if you do like what I do here each week with this show, if you're getting value from listening to Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping you in your faith life, help me to continue answering the call that I felt from God to do this show and to try to move as many people as I can in their faith life. Please consider blessing this show financially as an extension of your tithing. Utilize the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net to make a one-time contribution to help me with all the expenses that I face in continuing to run Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. I will happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Coach, you have written several books, and one of them that just came out 2 years ago is called Three Rules for Living a Good Life, A Game Plan for After Graduation. And I love that you identify five goals that most people have and a plan to achieve those goals, one of them being you want to go to heaven.
Well, the five assumptions I make on people, they want to be more successful professionally. They want to have a good personal life. They want to feel secure. They want to feel needed. And they want to feel that they're going to go to heaven when it's over. And let me say this about your request for donations. As my wife, who's one of the most religious people I've ever been around, always said, if you're trying to do God's work, you'll find a way to make sure that it keeps going. And I hope that all the listeners will say a little prayer and come up from their heart and help you maintain this fine thing.
Thank you.
But the three rules I came up with about 45 years ago, and I've never needed a fourth rule. Life is nothing more than making good choices. Wherever you are, good or bad, because of choices you make. Choose to do drugs, drop out of school, join a gang, get tattoos from head to bottom, get arrested. You're choosing that difficulty in life, and please stop blaming me for the choices you make along those lines. Mm. And the way you always make good choices, you follow three rules. Rule number one, you do what's right. And you never right time do the wrong thing, never wrong time do the right thing. If you have any doubt about what's right or wrong, get out the Bible. Don't say just do the right thing. Why is it important to do the right thing? Because it's the only way you can build a relationship with people. All relationship, whether it's business, athletics, or marriage, has to be based on trust. And the only way that you can ever generate trust is if you always do what's right. Not because somebody's looking, not because somebody's going to applaud you. It's just the way you live. Rule number two, you do everything the very best of your ability. Not everybody can be All-American. Not everybody can be All-Conference. Not everybody can be first team. Everybody can be the best they're capable of being. Mm. God gave us a lot of talents in a lot of different areas. And the most important thing, whatever talents we have, we should do it to the best of our ability, because people want to be associated with people who are committed to excellence. And the last rule is care about people. You're never going to meet anybody again, and there's nobody listening to this program, Bruce, that doesn't need a kind word, a smile, and encouragement. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got difficulties. But we always worry about our own problems instead of reaching out and looking for people. When my wife died, and just thousands of people, just condolences poured in. But why didn't you tell her that when she was alive? Mm. And she had cancer for 22 years. Fought a brilliant battle. But she did one TV interview in her entire life. that had to do with cancer. They said, what'd you learn from having cancer? She said, I learned how much my family loved me. We didn't love her anymore. We showed it. Why do we wait till the last minute? Why can't we write a note to our teacher, our children, somebody, and just let them know that, hey, I care about you. When you care about other people, you build love. That's the only three rules you'll need.
That's right. That's right. And it's why I often tell the people that I care about, I always say, I will never apologize for telling you how much I love you. And I think it's great advice, Coach, that you gave in those three steps and this plan that you outlined in the book that I referred to. I mentioned back in the intro that in football, you were a player, a coach, and a TV analyst. In other words, you got to experience the sport from many different perspectives. Isn't that similar to the different perspective that God blesses us with to walk through the life he has given us here in his heavenly kingdom on earth, say, as a son, as a husband, and as a father, and then apply the lessons learned across the different roles, including mixing faith and sports?
No, there's no doubt about it. It's my son, Skip, always says to me, Dad, if you want to make God laugh, you tell him what your plans are. our only goal is to do everything to the very best of our ability and have faith and understand why we're here. I think Mark Twain said it best. He said the two most important days of your life, one's the day you're born, the other day you discover why you're born. We discover we're basically born to help other people to make a difference in their life. That's why God put us on this earth, so that we can help other people.
Yes, beautifully said. Late last year, you were blessed to receive our nation's highest civilian honor when President Trump honored you at a ceremony in the Oval Office with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And on the certificate that goes with it, while it mentions your accomplishments in football, it does even refer to you as a devout Catholic.
Well, I've always had a strong faith in God, and I don't know how anybody could get through without his faith in God. Being a good Catholic Christian doesn't mean you aren't going to have problems. But what it means is you're going to be able to handle them and solve them with Christ's help. And I was humbled to receive the award. There are other people who are more deserving of that award, but nobody's more appreciative. But I got to be honest with you. That award does not change who I am, does not change my identity. My identity will be described by my children and how they live their life. And I don't care what you accomplish in this world, how much money you make, how much accolade you might receive. If you aren't successful in your family life, you're a failure in life. And by far, the most important accomplishment I've had is my family. I've been blessed with four beautiful children, a wife of 59 years. It's very hard to live the last 18 months without my wife, but, you know, God sends us different challenges, and he won't send anything that we can't handle with his help.
And I agree with everything that you just said, but I think it's important that people do hear that certificate mentioned a devout Catholic, so that people don't define Lou Holtz's life by football. Instead, it's defined by your personal life, referring to you as a devout Catholic on that certificate and everything that you just said about being a good father and a good husband.
Well, the one thing that we have done is I've traveled to 13 different countries, visited our troops from Iraq to Afghanistan to Korea, etc. Our foundation has done tremendous things for scholarships to young people, to trade schools, etc. All we've tried to do is do the right thing and help other people live by those three rules. And I never once felt that I would ever be the recipient of that award. I didn't even know I was nominated for it. but I genuinely appreciate it. But as I say, it didn't define who I am.
That's right. That's right. You mentioned your son, Skip. He has coached college football for many years. Was there ever a conversation where you directly talked to him about bringing Christianity to the student athletes that he would encounter? Or is that something where you take off your football hat and put on your hat as his father and just hope that the way you raised him would cause that part of him to come out naturally with his football players?
I've never talked to him about it. I didn't feel I ever needed to. He's an excellent Christian. He goes to Mass every Sunday. He's a great father, a great husband, got a beautiful family. He knows what to do and how to do it. And I live my life, and I'm not going to live vicariously through my son's experiences.
Well, that's great. That's great. And as we get ready to close here, with as much as you have accomplished throughout your long career in and around football, I think you would much prefer that we close today by telling the audience all about your long marriage. You've mentioned your wife a few times, and sadly, the marriage ended, as you mentioned, 18 months ago after your wife's passing, just a few weeks before what would have been your 59-year anniversary. All the football accolades are great, but a long marriage like that is a real example of success in life.
Well, my wife and I were both devoted to our family and doing the very best we can and raising them as good Catholics. And on her deathbed, I promised her I would continue to make sure that our children and our grandchildren follow the Catholic religion and they go to church and they don't ever lose that faith. I promised that to my wife. That was my obligation to her, and I'm certainly doing everything I can to make sure that I fulfill that. But we went to church every single Sunday as a family, during the season, during the off season.
Wow.
And after Mass, we would go to breakfast. We'd go to breakfast and we'd visit as a family and things along that line. And people think, well, Lou Holt's a disciplinarian. I'm not a disciplinarian. I've never disciplined any of our children. I've never disciplined an athlete. But I am going to make sure that I enforce the choices you make. It's a skip. You don't do your chores during the week. You're choosing to stay in Saturday night. Well, he didn't do his chores. He's going to stay in Saturday night. That wasn't my choice. That was his choice.
That's right.
So all you do is you enforce choices that people make.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And again, congratulations. That's unfortunately something that we don't hear very much of these days. I'm referring to being married for almost 59 years. So I know that a piece of your heart is gone with her. But at the same time, it is a wonderful example for so many couples to aspire to in the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Well, as we used to say, there's no way out, so work it out. If that was our attitude.
Wow. Wow. Wonderfully said, and a terrific way to close the show. Coach, God bless you, and thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me in the future of people.
Listeners, since we have a coach on the line, we will close this episode with one from the National Catholic Coaches Association. So let's pray it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians, "Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Lord, it is so easy for me to lose perspective, to get focused on the little picture of my job rather than on the big picture of the work to which you have called me. Help me to persevere. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.